football on off the ball.
And you know what? He's actually... there's a sense of him maybe learning his trade and having the kind of humility to do that that you wouldn't associate with Lampard at all.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Full house for you. Colin, good morning to you.
Hiya, Dirk.
Matthew, how are you?
Dirk.
Arthur, what's the crack?
Not much.
So Cork City relegated last night.
Yeah,
with an 88th minute winner for Jack Henry Francis. Told you he was good.
Yeah, he played that and he played the entirety.
Yeah,
so
which it hasn't really happened.
It's something that you've been asking for a while. Cork City equalised relatively late on in this game as well.
Nice Seanan Maguire finish.
Really nice finish. Yeah, he's been playing very well lately, actually. And so I suppose we're trying to channel the Pats win in a recent Friday night there in the FAI Cup semi-final, but it wasn't to be. There was only 1,600 at this game, so there was a lot of empty seats and places in the shed even visible. So that was disappointing. But I suppose people didn't want to be there to see the inevitable happen, you know. There was a good old Shells contingent, but like Joey O'Brien's side are flying. After Friday night's victory against Shamrock Rovers, would have been easy to drop the gears a bit last night. And it was kind of in... it was kind of hidden, this match, you know. This was an LOI TV number, so you had to have had that to watch it.
Was that Roy O'Hagan on commentary?
Would have been, yeah. Without even listening, it would have been, yeah. He's the LOI TV guy. So, like, for Irish viewers last night on TV, the easiest match to watch, if you had your standard channels here, would have been Northern Ireland against Germany, which itself, you know, you were talking about yesterday. And I'm sure we'll get into that about how well Northern Ireland played. Same scoreline as the Republic of Ireland lost to Germany, or lost to Portugal, that they lost to Germany last night, but in a very different manner. And so we can get into that. But for Cork City, yeah, it's a tremendously disappointing campaign. And would you believe, George, the last time that they stayed up, that they completed a season in the Premier Division, and the next season they competed in the same league was 2019.
Okay.
Which is only 2 years after they won the double.
Have they yo-yoed every time? Has there been...
They're up and down. It's 3 relegations in 6 years.
Right.
Wow. So it's tremendously disappointing and a massive underachievement given the size of the club and the facilities that they have compared to others in the league. And look, there's money's been put into that club. But there certainly wasn't the anger or passion of the protests against Pats in the semi-final last night. Last night was a resignation of defeat.
If they were to win the cup...
Huge, yeah.
It would actually transform.
Massive. Massive. And I don't know, I was thinking, well, look, maybe the protest before Pats was a turning point and was like, okay, well, for some perverse and bizarre reason, we give Dermot Usher a bit more time of day here. Because the guy is trying, but he's lacking massively in the football side of it. Either way, they're back to the First Division next year, which is a disaster for more reasons than obvious, in that the last time they were in the First Division, they walked it. And there was apathy among the fans. And that's going to be another year of that.
Unless, of course, they have European football, in which case...
Huge. That's what I'm saying to you. It's huge, but it would be a monumental task. And as I said, I don't think that Cork City and Shamrock Rovers have competed in an FAI Cup final before. This is relatively new, but... they'll have to channel that passion that they did against Pats to perform like they did, and that was a vulnerable Pats side who are susceptible to the odd stupid defeat. Wouldn't say the same about Rovers.
Pats are sixth now as things stand in the table, but Shell's win actually moves them up to third, 2 points clear of Bowles, who they still have to play. They still have to play Pats, and they've got Sligo as well, who it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of a game that is. But that race for second, third and potentially fourth is unbelievably important. Huge. Because if, you know, Bowles obviously have doubled down, Alan Reynolds is coming back, we expect Derry City to stay the course with their management team. One of those teams won't be in Europe if if Cork win, but they'll all get into Europe if Shamrock Rovers win. The difference between finishing second and third is obviously a slightly handier route into group stages in the Conference League. And it's a transformative moment for Shells to survive Duffer going and still be in Europe. But if they're not in Europe, it's like they've been losing, was it 2 million a year? This year they'll be much closer to break even. But then next year, without European football, it's like, ah! So, so much riding on these next few games.
Yeah, probably some extra investment that came with qualifying for Europe as well. Some of the players that they got in, there'll be an added added expense that they'll have to break even on in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, and obviously increased value from those players as well.
Yes,
so that's why, you know, somebody like...
Any idea what the numbers would drop down to in Cork? Like,
in first division week on week.
You're probably talking around what we saw last night.
Yeah.
It's low, and it'd be the ticket prices would be the issue. Like, so it's €25 a pop for an adult now.
You're not charging €25.
Do that in the first division, sure.
Yeah, no, no one's going to
come back, like. Lads. Come back, we forgive you.
But I think it's €20 at Waterford, I think. I'm nearly sure. So I think it's marginally bigger than others, but because of their performance, it doesn't justify it.
No.
So it's tricky times. It's weird because there's a lot of interest in the club, but it's for negative reasons. But the interest suggests an element of passion.
Yeah.
Oh, they should be a colossus, like.
It's a huge shame, and it's a waste, really. And it wasn't that long ago, like, you know, it was only eight years ago they were flying it, absolutely flying it. And it very quickly went downhill after that year.
But maybe this is the bit where
you go the other side, you know. And at the first, I was excited at the start of this season when we were doing our previews, and we had Tim Clancy on early when he was still the incumbent. And if you looked at Cork City's strongest team, like, jeez, like, it was festooned with ability in the final third alone.
Yeah.
There was inexperience there and naivety. But then as it transpired, the overall recruitment was insufficient. And there's no real bite to that team. Like, I'm not saying it's a mirror of the Republic of Ireland senior side, but there is elements of can't trust them to get a result.
Yeah.
They had a load of injury problems and then bought in the middle of the season and changed manager, and obviously, so they're...
Yeah, they were... Like, that's the thing with Usher is that he is proactive in spending the money that he has. So it's $1.4 million, which isn't a small amount necessarily at that level of the game. So he gets very defensive when people criticise, because he says, well, he's putting the finance in and he cares about the club. And I don't think people actually would dispute that element of a Cork City supporters. It's the lack of footballing expertise. And the repeated mistakes in recruitment is the frustration.
So bad night for Cork City last night. Obviously, an incredible night for Pico Lopez, who's going to the World Cup.
He's unbelievable.
The only Irishman of his generation who is going to play in the World Cup.
Was it like the first man born after Italian 90 to play at a World Cup?
From Ireland.
Yeah.
Hasn't done it yet, obviously.
Hopefully he doesn't get injured or anything. Yeah.
Well, he's going to the World Cup, and no one else in that generation.
But he's qualified.
He so has a walk that group. Like, yeah. You know, in the end, they
3-0 last night. Yeah,
totally walked.
He was holding up a novelty ticket to the World Cup last night.
Very
on the back page of the Irish Independent here, actually. And it's handy too because it gives the dates of the World Cup, which I didn't know. The 11th of June to the 19th of July next summer.
I haven't got to confess, I haven't actually looked at those days yet in any way. Like, oh, I need to plan around this or to concern myself with this too much.
Three countries over a month. So the second smallest countries qualified for a World Cup. Smallest being?
Ooh.
Ever.
Yeah. So the second smallest country ever. So the population of 550,000, I think.
Probably Iceland, then.
Iceland, 2018.
Iceland, yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
So huge. Brilliant for Pico Lopez.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll probably come back to a double.
Was Hamer involved in 2018?
Mm-hmm. I think he was in charge for 2018. I don't think he was in charge the first time. In 2016, he was like co-manager.
He was part of the staff for sure at 16. Yeah. I think 18, they had a very disappointing World Cup, if I recall.
Yeah, I think he was solely in charge then, I think.
All right, so
sole manager after 2016, until 2018, yeah.
So he picked up on the momentum and
got them to a World Cup.
Fizzled out, you know.
Yeah.
Got them to a World Cup.
You did get them there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
we'd take that.
Yeah. After the back, off, yeah, yeah.
Fizzling out at a tournament at this
stage. Nice, he's flying, keep him there for life. Job for life.
Lifetime contract.
He's clearly shown it again and again in his career thereafter.
Yeah.
Look at Jamaica now.
So our boys up north performed well last night.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
There's ways of losing 1-0, isn't there?
There's ways of losing 1-0.
Yeah, I was very, very much on the after the game on Saturday. Like, do you know what? I actually don't like. We lose 1-0. That's fine. I had no issue with the performance, the way we played. I was like, you want your outlet, you know, your outlet to actually be a bit of an outlet, maybe more so than they were at the weekend going forward. But I was totally kind of content with, look, you go, you defend for 90 odd minutes, you get a 0-0 draw. Ideally, obviously, that didn't happen, but I wasn't totally upset with how we performed. But then you watch Northern Ireland last night and you're like, yeah, do you know what, you wouldn't mind a few passes and, you know, a tiny bit of sustained pressure at some point. But yeah, they weren't bad. The big thing that jumped out with me is just that the Northern Ireland players last night just, I don't know if fear is the right word, but they don't play with that sense of fear that sometimes I get off our players, especially when they kind of end up in a position high up the pitch. and there's an opportunity maybe to get a shot off or to try playing an incisive pass, and they turn that opportunity down just in a moment of hesitation and sort of take a shot when the opportunity's passed and it gets blocked. Malumbi at the end of the game the other night, like, just kind of taking that extra touch. The Northern Ireland players last night, like, they're not afraid to try jump past a man. Like, Galbraith gave the ball away a couple of times last night, but he kept going at it. He didn't kind of knock him back or anything, and he had a shot towards the end of the game that on another night maybe could have tested a goalkeeper. But no, they were very impressive, and I suppose they have the mark of a team that you wouldn't mind seeing some elements in our own play, and there's no reason for that them elements not to be in our own play either.
There are striking resemblances to our own defeat, right, on paper. So it's 1-0 against the big country. The goal scorer scored his first goal for said country, Voltamada, last night, Newcastle's finest. They should have won by more. So Adeyemi's true on goal early in the second half, but so wide, like Portugal, missing their chances. But the difference is in the detail, and it was the way that Northern Ireland were passing the ball around with genuine confidence, very much like two-touch progressive training ground play that they've transferred onto the pitch. And it's certainly something that we're severely lacking on the ball. I look at us when we're on the ball like a minnow, like a proper minnow. Like, I'm talking like San Marino level of, like, if we string four passes together, I'm saying out loud to my TV, well done, lads.
It gets mentioned the next morning.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, it gets mentioned live in real time in commentary. Yeah. It's like, oh,
this is
well there.
It's lovely. Yeah. We're very, very comfortable in defensive midfield back, as we were saying yesterday. You can pass around there all day long, no bother. We can zip it, actually. But when we get any way progressive, not even to their half, even just approaching our halfway line, we get a bit antsy. Last night, watching the North do it, it was a different story altogether. Yeah. And it was all our favourites that we mentioned yesterday. It was all the boys, Galbraith, McCann, Charles, Price, Reid. They were the starters for Northern Ireland in the top half of the pitch.
Yeah.
Nothing to be fearful about in terms of the Republic of Ireland when it comes to production of players. But
well, they're midfielders though, right? Charles.
Yeah, Shea Charles is a very good player.
Ethan Galbraith.
As is Galbraith.
Justin Devaney. They're midfielders who are... Would we take all three of those?
Well, really good. I mean, so
they're not superstars.
Yeah, but that's
you know what I mean. Yeah. They're not playing for a huge club.
We weren't talking about them a month or two ago. You know what I mean? Like, geez, that Northern squad.
Not paying attention to Northern Ireland.
But like in general, nobody was. You know, it's not like Gareth Bale coming through or something in Wales.
Exactly.
It's like, oh well, look, that makes sense.
Gareth Bale's a unicorn, though. Like, is there a possibility that those three are all actually better than what we have?
No, I would.
Josh Cullen plays in the Premier League.
Those are the players playing in the Premier League who aren't better than players in the Championship, because they haven't got that stage yet.
Not loads.
He's at a stage of his career where he's been at that club for a long period of time and gone down and come up, and no one would ever say he's a nailed on Premier League player. No other Premier League team has come and gone, ooh, we're scooping you because you're top quality, you're one of the top.
I'd say it's fairly likely that by the time Shea Charles and Ethan Galbraith are the same age as Josh Cullen is now, that they'll have.
They'd
be widely regarded as better players than he was at that age. Like, I mean, like Shea Charles came through at Manchester City, Ethan Galbraith came through at Manchester United. Like, they've dropped down the leagues and they're getting game time at a younger age that maybe we wish some of our players were doing. Like, I mean, I think Southampton spent the guts of 10 million on Shea Charles, like, when they were in the Premier League. So, like, there's a good chance that these players are better than ours. Like, yeah, for sure. But they're not. But it's not an excuse for our players to be playing
as bad. We could debate the merits of who's better than who individually. Yeah. But the whole point is the way that they play football.
Yeah,
it is different.
I suppose my point for bringing that up is actually the transformative impact of having three ball playing midfielders versus we have one who's a ball playing midfielder, and then we have workhorses who are going to run all day for you. But actually, if those two were good on the ball, if Malumbi and Knight were ball players as opposed to water carriers, then perhaps we might be able to do that.
Yeah, maybe, but even if you have ball players at the level that the Northern Irish players are playing, you will be limited in your impact against the likes of Germany, or you should be.
You can't just be a ball player.
They weren't, you know.
It's a mentality thing. Like, it's not ability thing solely. No. It's not like they're exceptional footballers compared to what they were up against. I think you're spot on.
So give Michael O'Neill the Ireland job.
Well, I don't know.
We wouldn't get him.
But
he would be mad to take it. This is the thing as well. Like, they actually look like they know what they're doing as well, which is another side to it. Like, obviously you've got the ability side of it, you've got the mentality side of it, but they actually, like, they go out on the pitch and they look like they, in every element of what they do, whether it be their set pieces weren't great last night, but they look like they have a plan for every every element of the game, like, you know, and every eventuality. Mm. They kind of have an idea of what they're going to do here. And obviously, we're talking about them as if they've won. They did lose last night in the same. We did also lose the other night, but it's just as you said, or in these circumstances, there probably is a way. There's a better way of losing, I think, sometimes.
Well, I give you what the internet tells me about Michael O'Neill's salary over the last 10 years. Any interest in this?
Yeah.
Loads.
2016, it was reported that his salary was 500 sterling in 2016.
500 sterling?
500 grand.
All right, okay. Sorry.
Big numbers now.
After he qualified, there was a report that he was going to be offered a new deal. Initially, the reports were a four-year deal worth 500 grand, 2 million over 4 years. That's good money. But then there was a report in the Belfast Telegraph which said it was going to be a million a year, sterling, which was dismissed. At which point, Stoke City came in and had to buy him out of his contract. They paid 650 grand to the IFA, and the deal was worth anything between a million and a million and a half a year to sign for Stoke in 2019. So you can see why these managers want a championship job.
Yeah. And yeah. That went too well for him.
No, but the conversation would have been okay.
I suppose he wasn't getting championship jobs before that. I don't know what's the point with that, like just in of interest, or like we couldn't afford him. No, we couldn't now, but we were at the same time that they were paying Michael O'Neill $500,000, we were playing Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, God knows what.
Yeah.
So, like, we could afford. Well, we made an awful lot of wrong decisions.
We weren't paying that money. Dennis O'Brien was paying that money.
But you know what I mean? I'm not sure where their money's coming from either. Like, they're a very small ground. They're, you know, relatively speaking, there's only 17,000 in there, I think, last night. So, it's not like they're flush with cash themselves in terms of finding it. So, I don't know what their situation is with that. But it's not like we haven't had that money there and just spurned it. Time and time again. Sure, look. Okay, good for them.
Yeah.
So your points are that a good quality manager is what's the reason?
I think so.
For this.
I wouldn't say solely, but it's there's definitely a discrepancy there between the quality of our manager and the quality of their manager, I'd say, yeah.
It's been a problem for a while, though, because before Hamer Hargrimson's time.
Yeah.
Just, I don't think he's managed to improve it, but like Stephen Kenny tried to get us playing ball. That was his thing, like trying to get us to play football, and we couldn't, or we didn't, one or the other. And before that, then you would have an era of managers who were backed by having a significant CV, who were results driven, in Martin O'Neill and Giovanni Trapattoni. So I don't know if it's not this one individual manager's fault, Hamer Hargrimson. I think he's just part of this. He's overseeing an era of underwhelm, I would say. He's the latest. But I don't buy the argument that some people have given up altogether, the fatalists here, saying that, like, well, there's no manager can fix this. Like, it's just the generation of players. It's not true. I mean, and if that is true, well, then we'll just pack it in, like, just forfeit all your games. Yeah. So you gotta, there's something there. Like, there's something obviously that we can do better that we're not. And I think those comparisons are very justified, like with the North and with Wales and to a lesser degree with Scotland. But Scotland was one of those sides that we beat well in a very rare occurrence 3 years ago. Now they have the same manager and largely the same players. So again, on our day, you can do something, but look at where Scotland are and look at where Ireland are. So something fundamentally has gone wrong here in the development of our team.
Yeah.
It does feel that way. Just when you watched that last night, you're like, Jesus, like, this is not like Bailey Peacock Farrelly goals. Like, our goalkeeper streets ahead in terms of thing, and you're looking at all these different little bits and pieces, like, but the sum of their individual parts is just so good.
Above, yeah.
And they've it all figured out, what you're saying. Everything's to a T. Everything is kind of, and all the emotional and stuff and all that's great to see as well. But they're such a smart wee team, like. Mm. I don't know. It's awful grim. Then you're like, oh, the manager coming out this week saying, oh, I'd take a scrappy 1-0. It's all that matters. It's like, yeah, it does, but
It does.
It's a shame that's where you are.
Can we not have it?
Because hang on, Stephen Kenny talked about playing differently and everybody hammered
Stephen
him.
Kenny got it wrong.
But so you can't have everything here. You can't say...
I don't want everything. I just want something.
I want the manager to have some ambition and tell us that he wants to have some ambition. When the manager does that and it doesn't
work... I don't want
the
manager coming out...
This is a disaster. He's overwhelmed. He can't do this.
I don't want the manager coming out at home to Armenia going, we'll take a scrappy 1-0. Because we're so beleaguered because of the situation that he's overseen.
He didn't need to say it though.
Well...
He doesn't need to say anything about how we're going to win. He just says we just need to go and win. He doesn't need to preface whether it's going to be a beautiful, wonderful, or a nasty win. Like,
I'm not expecting super football. I just don't be going in with that mind frame. Well, lads, just hunker down. We'll be lucky to get out of this. Get the goal. Let's get out of here. we're at home.
But a lot of people go in with that mindset. Most fans do.
I don't mind that internally. It's a fine result. But don't be coming out with it.
So we are requesting an element of delusion. We are requesting it from the manager.
Just have a little bit of oomph about
which
you.
I don't think is a problem.
A little bit of confidence.
I think that's good. Having said all this, I do think we'll get the job done tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think we'll do it. Like,
I don't know.
Two more years.
Where's your evidence for that? As Dunphy would ask.
Because we can beat teams of that level, which we have proven earlier this year. We can do that.
Yeah, we beat Armenia 3-2, and it was a complete fluke. We hammered them. It went up 2-0.
The manager himself saying this would probably be fluke goofy.
You were saying to Vinny yesterday about what was our kind of discourse around the time we were beating Bulgaria and Finland and that. And the first thing that came to my head was, well, the way I was thinking, okay, right, we're beating the teams that on paper we should be beating now, which is why I think we got that sense of hope before the Hungary game, because we were like, okay, look, we might be able to get something out of Hungary here. And we've shown that we can beat teams like Armenia. And I think that's actually what contributed to how disappointed and frustrated everyone was when we did have that, like, disaster in Armenia. So, like, there is some form of evidence there that we can beat a team in Armenia's level, albeit in a game. Like, we should be beating teams like Armenia. Like, come on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the evidence is in us beating Bulgaria and Finland twice in those games. But, like... there's also, as you say, new evidence came to light, and we did lose to Armenia. But we should be beating Armenia.
They're equally motivated as us. Like, so if they win, they're on 6 points, and then suddenly their first ever World Cup is on the horizon.
Yeah,
you know themselves and Cape Verde
for sure.
Yeah. So like,
what a crossover!
This is a crossover no one asked for. We're going to get it. Like,
I'd watch it. Yeah, for sure.
So they're motivated and they know they can do it. So like, you
know, 100%.
Off the ball breakfast in Yerevan this morning, it's confident. You know. Very confident. But I expect us to do it, and I'm going to stick with the prediction, because I was thinking Portugal, they'll be close to the end. So I'm going to say for this, Armenia will be close to us to the end, but I think we'll do it.
So sorry, a 94th minute scratchy winner
could be late. Yeah, I think it's going to be late. I'll say 1-0 or 2-1 to Ireland tonight.
A clean sheet would be very impressive.
It would be rare, yeah, but a clean sheet will happen at some point, and it could be tonight.
Yeah, 0-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if it does play out, if it plays out right how we're anticipating here, and we do pick up a win tonight and Portugal do the business, we're going into the last two games and we're like, you know, we're level with Hungary, and all we're looking for is a cagey point against an already qualified Portugal.
It's interesting, and it changes very quickly.
And then we're in Budapest, and all we really wanted at the start of this was have a fighting chance at Budapest. Yeah, yeah. So
here's my question.
You could say job done, give the man another 2 years. That's what you're saying.
For all of you, right? The first half an hour tomorrow morning on the show, from 7:30 to 8:00, what will require tonight to happen for it to be a unanimously positive discussion?
I think if we win.
Portugal need to hammer... That's the first thing. Portugal need to hammer Hungary in advance.
Okay.
And then we need to be 3-0 win.
3-0. You're talking 3-0. And what are you talking?
A 2-0 win where we play
good football,
well.
Good football, good goals, well-controlled.
No, I know what?
I'm saying tomorrow morning, that's more like it.
Sorry, everybody having a clear understanding of what the job is. So there's none of this, you're supposed to go there and I'm standing here and how did he get past you? Like a... just everybody moving in the style of some of the teams that we've seen, like Northern Ireland, like, you know, good performances from everybody understanding what their role is.
Okay. And to get there, what team would we be picking here tonight?
Personally, you've heard me say
you want to pick largely the same team. You have to make a call yourself for Josh Cullen.
One change, so I don't know.
You go small Will Bunn?
I probably would, yeah. I mean, not massively confident that that's like for like, but my whole point with that team is that you're actually getting Nathan Collins essentially to play as a midfielder when we have the ball.
Okay.
And when we don't have the ball, you're dropping back and we're going to hit them on the break because we're good at that.
Okay. So you're largely the same, bar one.
Really.
I'm being sure.
How do you get good at stuff?
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm not trying to constantly be cynical about it. But
okay, pick your team.
Are we good at it?
Pick your team.
I can't pick my team because I have no idea what team would play even if I picked them.
What do you
I have
mean?
No idea what way they'll play. Like, it's all fine in theory, but like, it doesn't pan out.
Theoretically, pick a team.
But it's not. I'm not picking the same team away to Portugal as at home to Armenia.
Right, so you are doing something different from me. That's how opinions differ.
For sure.
That's why we have betting markets. People think different outcomes are likely. So what team would you pick?
But I don't know what team I'd pick. Like, it'll there's only so much variables it can have in it. Like, it'll be the same sort of.
So give us a shape.
You'll probably, it should be some semblance of 4-3-3.
Okay, who are your three in midfield?
At the moment, it's going to have to be Will Bunn, who can small.
Small Bunn.
It's rubbing off.
You're going to have to play Malumbi, because Cullen's out disastrously, but who'll be the third man in midfield? If Knight's out, I suppose we're not.
They're calling Coventry, but I'll play him, but he's not going to play.
Like, you could have someone a bit more. I mean, do you put?
I think he might.
I would play him.
I think he might pick him. I would. I think it's one of those situations where it's like, I have this guy, and my next guy is the next guy in. I don't need him in the squad.
Well, he's shown he's done that. He did have with Malumbi, yeah. But I would.
Malumbi obviously way more experienced. But
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So
Taylor's a bit of a liability. I wouldn't.
Yeah. I wouldn't be starting Jack Taylor. Not after the Armenian.
Can you put his Azaz in there?
Jack Taylor. Sorry, so Jack Taylor hasn't played a minute in for his club since that Armenian game. So I would not be. I would absolutely not be throwing him into the team. Maybe bring him on if you need, but like, no way.
So who are your front three?
You're probably just for legs alone. You'll put it Ogbene. Don't think he's particularly good on the ball, but he's very quick. Ferguson. I'd leave off Parrott. And on the left. So who was on the so the there was no left. This was the last. This you okay, have Johnson
you'd Festy, you'd Festy
or Festy. No, you can't play both. No.
Yeah,
there's Johnson, not enough quality. Johnson
come back in.
Saz, yeah, I don't know. Whatever of them he feels has a little bit more of a technical ability or a killer ball.
And is Seamus Coleman playing right back or is Jacob Bryan?
It depends on how fit he is. If he's fit, fine. Absolutely, throw him in. If he's dust after last week, then there's nothing you can do about that.
Jacob Bryan dropped
37. He's fine. Jacob Ryan, I think it's fine. He's a fine player. Like, I don't, if you have him in there for the long throws that don't reach very long, grand. If you want to do that, as he seems wants to do, but he's fine. Like, he's not a game changer.
I'd probably keep the five.
With respect to him.
I'd probably keep the five. I'd play Coleman. If you don't think he's fit enough, I'd play Festy, in that same position, and then I'd start Coventry, Malumbi, Small Bone.
Yeah,
and then. I would probably play
5-3-2.
Yeah, Ferguson and one other.
Parrott.
Yeah, probably if Parrott's fit, play him. If not, I'd probably just throw Mikey Johnson in there, to be honest, as opposed to Ogbene. I think Ogbene would be better coming off the bench. I don't want Johnson. I wouldn't play Johnson against Portugal. I'd play him in a game like this, though. He just has that bit of something.
Call him
4-4-2.
Yeah.
I go Seamus, Ryan Manning. I go Jacob Ryan and Nathan Collins. This is me. It's not going to happen.
Dropping Darragh.
He's not going to get dropped.
Yeah, that would also be fun.
I'd have Cullen, or not Cullen, I'd have Smallbone, and I'd have Malumbi, and then I'd have Festy and Chiodose.
Two wingers.
And I'd have Parrott and Ferguson.
Right.
But they ran through the middle of us the last day.
I'm going, we didn't actually commit enough, I think, the last time.
But with only those going two in there, you'd get overrun, wouldn't you?
I think the midfield is a danger no matter what you do.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and negate it.
just ignore it. Like.
Just cede control of it.
I'll have a private team talk when the two boys are in the back. Yeah.
You're going to get killed
pass,
here. But
don't pass it to them. Yeah. I think Small Bun's a good player. And I thought Malumbi had a fine game against Portugal. I thought he was very good. But Malumbi in a game against Armenia at home is the one where I don't know if it suits him as well. But because of numbers, it's a numbers game here.
But, Parrott and or Ferguson are going to be an extra body in there.
Yeah, totally. I think they'll drop in. And also I have the option here of bringing on Azaz and Johnston and mixing up the system if I need to, if the 4-4-2 is not working. And a very, very angry Adam Ida could come in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why people were saying I'm not going to name who it was, but it was right, bang on 8 o'clock. Carl Downey is standing by to talk to us about the juiced games and the enhanced.
It should be called that's good.
Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help get back in action. Quick round table for predictions.
I did it.
1-0 late
1-0 or 2-1.
2-0.
I think another 3-2 classic, but what do I know?
2-1 or 2-0.
To the Republic of Ireland?
Yeah, I just don't think Armenia are that good. Like, it's not, no disrespect to them, but
they've got what they need now.
To come and win, to come and do the double overs would be some going, to be fair to them. As bad as we are.